What do you think of when you hear the word prostitute? What do you think of when you think of someone who's engaged in that profession? You probably think of someone who has low moral standards. They're loose. They may be dirty. They may have sexually transmitted diseases. They may problems. They may drugs and alcohol and other kinds of things. When you think of a prostitute, you think of someone as dirty and someone that you would otherwise avoid. And yet, when we come to God's Word, we find that it's a prostitute who has great faith. We just got through singing the song, "The Gospel is for All." Does that include prostitutes, drug addicts, drunkards, bums, people like that? Well, sure it does. And if we're not careful, we'll be like the Pharisees that Jesus approached one time, and he said, "You know what, fellas? The prostitutes get into the kingdom of heaven before you guys." And we're going to get to that verse in just a minute. I want us to look at a prostitute. That's some of the newer versions use that word for harlot. I noticed that Ken's version, the English Standard Version, uses the word prostitute. I want us to look at one in the Scripture. If you'll turn with me to Joshua chapter 2, we're going to look at Rahab the harlot. As you're turning back to Joshua chapter 2, you may recall that prostitutes are mentioned different times in Scripture. They're always considered ungodly, profane. In Leviticus 19 and verse 29, you're not to take your daughter and make her a prostitute. There's several passages in the law that forbade that. You were not allowed to bring the hire of a harlot into the temple. You may recall that Samson went unto a prostitute in Judges chapter 16 and verse 1. The prodigal son wasted his money on prostitutes in Luke 15. In 1 Corinthians 6, Corinth was a seaport. A lot of drunken sailors would come in there. And in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul said that if you join your body to a prostitute, you're one with her. And so he talks about fleeing fornication and so forth. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1, Rome is described as a harlot. Wherever a prostitute or harlot is mentioned, it's always in a bad light, of course, except for Rahab the harlot. Even in a spiritual sense, when Israel went off and joined themselves to idols, it was like they were cheating on God. It was like they were committing spiritual adultery, and so they're described as playing the harlot. So this morning, I want us to look at Joshua chapter 2, and I want us to look at this Rahab. And I want us to learn some lessons from her. You think about who can we turn to in Scripture to learn some great lessons. If I were to tell you, well, we're going to learn some lessons this morning from a prostitute, you might be thinking, well, can we learn anything good? And the answer is yes. This woman had a very terrible job. Some have described it as one of the oldest professions in the world. It's sinful, it's immoral, it's ungodly. And yet, we find that she changes and comes out of that, and she becomes someone who's much better than her job. Of course, you remember back in Joshua chapter 2, if you'll turn with me there, how that Israel is coming into the land of Canaan. And they're going to conquer Canaan land. And the first city that they're going to conquer is Jericho. So they send out some spies ahead of time, which is good reconnaissance. And these two spies come into the home of Rahab the harlot. In Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Joshua sends out these spies, go spy out the land, and they come into the home of Rahab the harlot. Now there had been a lot of men in her home, but they were there for another reason. They were there to pay for prostitution. But these two men come into her home for a completely different reason, and that is to give her an opportunity to be saved. The gospel is for all. You stop and think about those two men going into her home. If some townspeople would have seen that, well, we know why they're going in there. But it was for a completely different reason. So we can't judge according to appearance. So they go in there and they talk with her about how to be saved. Later on in the chapter, she hides them and so forth. The first lesson that I want us to consider this morning is that true faith is often found in unlikely persons. So that next person that we walk by at the store or at work or somewhere where we think, oh, they would never obey the gospel, they could be the very one who does. So we can hand them a bulletin, we can invite them to services, we can give them a copy of the sermon, we can ask them if they would like to have a Bible study or something along those lines. Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 21, verses 31 and 32, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of heaven before you. These religious people who claim to be right and upright. The next verse says that the prostitutes, were baptized in the baptism of John, but the Pharisees wouldn't do it. Why? Because the prostitutes were repentant and they were humble and they accepted what Jesus said, but the religious folks were proud and arrogant. They didn't want that. Do you remember in Luke chapter 7, verse 39, when Jesus is in the home of a Pharisee and this woman comes and anoints him? And the Pharisee says to Jesus, "If you had known what kind of woman this was, you wouldn't have let her do that. She's a terrible sinner." I don't know if she was a prostitute or not, but she was a sinner. And Jesus said, "Well, that's why I came. That's why I'm here." And so, first of all, we find that this woman is not only a prostitute, but apparently she's a pretty good liar. Do you remember back in Joshua chapter 2 how she lied and she said, "Well, they went out another way"? The Bible doesn't condone her lying. She's commended in James chapter 2 for her faith, and we'll talk about that. But she was a prostitute. She was a liar. And yet she changes and comes out of that. Not only was she a prostitute and a liar, but if you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 26, she was probably a pretty good home wrecker. You ever thought about that? She's probably a pretty good home wrecker. She probably messed up a lot of marriages. Got these married men coming to her in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 26. "For on account of a prostitute, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress hunteth for the precious life." There are other proverbs that talk about that when you go unto her, it's like going unto the grave, and it's going to be a lot of problems. She was a pretty good home wrecker. She helped men break one of the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." So she was a problem all the way around, wasn't she? Now, you wouldn't think that this woman would have great faith, and yet we find that she does. Our first lesson this morning is that true faith is often found in unlikely persons. So we don't need to walk around. We don't need to walk around people that we would normally think, or that we would normally think would reject the gospel. We don't need to avoid them. But notice this also. Come with me to Joshua chapter 2. We find that this woman is a Canaanite, and she has faith in God. And the reason that that is unlikely is she would have been raised as someone who was believing in the Canaanite idolatry, and yet she's exhibiting great faith in God. She's not an Israelite. She was not someone who was born and raised on the one true God. How did she hear about God? Do you remember? Come with me now to Joshua chapter 2. The next section of the story, verses 8 through 14, tells about how that she had heard about the one true God. Verse 10, she had heard about how the Lord had dried up the Red Sea. Verse 10, she had heard about what happened with Sihon and Og. That's Numbers chapter 21. Of course, the Red Sea is Exodus chapter 14. She's hearing about all of this, and she's believing it. She's accepting it, so much so that she describes God as the God in heaven above and on earth. Verse 11. She accepts the testimony. She accepts the history of what has happened, and she's willing to place her faith in what these spies say. These spies tell her, we are Israelites. Our God in heaven is going to destroy your city. Now, she could have said, well, I don't believe any of that. Your God can't do anything. No, he can, because he dried up the Red Sea, and I heard what he did to Sihon and Og. And so what you're telling me about the destruction of our city, I believe that. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She had heard the testimony. She had heard what God had done, and she was going to accept that. And so she's a prostitute. She's a liar. She's a home wrecker. She's not a godly woman by any means, and yet she makes a change. Number two, she's not an Israelite who was born and raised on the one true God. She's a Canaanite. But when she heard the evidence, when she heard the truth, when she heard about the one true God, she said, indeed, he is that God of heaven and earth. And what you're telling me, I accept that. I believe that. Now, what can I do to be saved, if you will? True faith is often found in an unlikely person. And so, as we have an opportunity, let's talk with people. And they may be dirty and smelly, and they may have a seedy profession, and they may have a bad background, and they may live in the projects, and they may this or they may that, but let's do what we can to talk to them. We may have some family members and friends and relatives that aren't living right, and they've got some bad things going on in their life. We don't need to walk around them. I think about the priest and the Levite. What did they do? Oh, just walk around. We'll just walk around the problem. We'll just avoid it. We'll just go by on the other side. Let somebody else deal with that. Let somebody else take the gospel to that person. They could be the very ones that want to believe and obey and become a great person in the kingdom. As we're going to see later in the lesson, Rahab becomes a great person in God's kingdom. So let's remember that. Let's not be like the Pharisees of Jesus' day. Oh, get these prostitutes out of here. Get these sinners out of here. Jesus said, that's the very reason why I came, to save them. And so let's remember that, and we can learn that from Rahab. But there's a second lesson with regard to this, and this is the lesson that James speaks of in James chapter 2. And that is that not only is true faith often found in an unlikely person, but true faith is always clearly manifest in active obedience. Faith is not just something we think. faith is not just something we say or we feel or some better felt and told experience. Faith gets up and shows itself. Let's look now at, as the story continues, look with me at Joshua chapter 2, verse 15. I had planned to read all of these verses, but we'll just simply paraphrase this morning. Before the two spies leave, they give Rahab some conditions upon which she can be saved. There are four of them. God's plan of salvation is always conditional. He wants to see if we're going to exercise our faith to meet those conditions. Today, it's confessing Him and repenting of our sins and being baptized. On this occasion, it was number one, verse 18. Look at it. Put the scarlet cord out your window. Number two, gather all of your family inside the house, verse 18. Number three, don't go outside your house, verse 19. And number four, don't utter this to anyone, verse 20. Those are the conditions. That's the plan of salvation. We would call it the steps, the conditions, whatever you want to call it. But she had to do these things. Put the cord out, get all your family inside, don't go outside the house, and don't utter this to anyone. True faith will either meet those conditions and obey those commandments, or it won't. And yet we find that she obeyed. She met those conditions. She put the cord out. She got her family in, you see, and she was saved. Paul talks about faith as the obedience of faith. In 1 Thessalonians 1:3, he calls it a work of faith. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, he describes it as faith working through love. Our denominational friends today have a wrong idea of faith, and that is that faith is just something you feel inside, and at the moment you have that, you're saved. And yet we don't find that anywhere in Scripture. A person is told what they must do to be saved, Old or New Testament. The conditions are laid out, the commands are laid out, and the person either does that or they don't. And she did. Turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 11. Rahab, this unlikely prostitute, this person that many people would have avoided and stayed away from, she's one of the very persons that ends up in faith's hall of fame because she had the right kind of faith. Verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been compassed about. You have to do what God says. I have to do what God says. And then after that, you will get the reward. We always have to do what God says. After they had been compassed about for 7 days, by faith, Rahab, the harlot, perished not with them that were disobedient. Well, she obeyed. She did what she was told to do. She was not like the rest. Having received the spies with peace. Notice the verb there. Faith has a verb with it. You've got to do something. So the walls were compassed about. Verb, action. She received the spies. Verb, action. You've got to do, I've got to do what God wants me to do. Now turn with me to James chapter 2. And that's James' very point, that faith has to show itself in works. It can't just be something we say. It has to be something we do. And so Abraham is used as an example in verse 20, 21, and so forth. And then in like manner, look at verse 25, in like manner to whom? The example that he had just given, Abraham. Abraham went out, he actively showed his faith in offering up Isaac. Offer, verb, you see, action. In like manner, in the same way, active faith, showing itself. Was not Rahab the harlot also justified? Rahab the harlot was justified by works in that she received, verb, action. She received the messengers and sent them, verb, action, sent them out the other way. We have to do something. And so true faith is always manifest in obedience to what God says. She didn't say, I accept God as my personal Savior. So when you fellas come into town and the walls of Jericho fall, I'm going to be saved because I've accepted God as in my heart as my personal Savior. Those spies would say, no, no, that's not enough. It may be a great start, but you didn't put the cord out. You didn't get everybody inside. You see, you didn't do what you were told. So we have to follow God's plan of salvation. She did something to be saved. She acted. She worked. And Bible faith has always been that way, from the beginning of time, even up until today. The third lesson that we need to learn from all of this is that true faith is always richly rewarded. Turn with me to the culmination of this story. Come with me now to Joshua chapter 6. We've learned, number one, that she's an unlikely candidate for faith. She's an unlikely candidate for faith, and yet she had faith. Number two, we've learned that she's been given some conditions upon which to be saved, and she actively obeyed those conditions. Now let's look at the end of the story. You have to skip over chapter 3, 4, and 5. Those are chapters that deal with preparation for crossing the Jordan and getting ready to go over into Canaan land. And you come to chapter 6 now, and of course the Israelites walk around the city and they do what they're told and they blow the trumpets and the walls fall down. Come with me now to Joshua chapter 6 and verse 22. And Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the land, go into the harlot's house and bring out from there the woman and all that she hath, as you swear unto her. God will always keep His word. When you meet God's conditions, He'll keep His word and save you. And the young men, the spies, went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother. Now, wait a minute. What if the father and mother didn't want to follow the plan? What if the father and mother wanted to follow another plan? Well, you know, my mom and dad, they were raised on another plan. Do you hear that today? My mom and dad, they were in another church. And that church didn't include baptism for the remission of sins. Does that change this plan? It doesn't. What if her mom and dad didn't want to come in the city, in the house? What if they wanted to stay out there and be saved by another way? Does that change God's plan? Well, of course not. If our mom and dad don't come in, then our mom and dad don't come in. We don't change the plan because mom and dad don't come in. It's sad. It breaks our heart. It causes us to cry, but it doesn't change the plan. And so she was inside, and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had and all her kindred also they brought out. They set them without the camp of Israel, and they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of Jehovah. But Rahab the harlot and her father's household and all that she had did Joshua save alive. True faith will always be richly rewarded. She was saved, and she dwelt in the midst of Israel until this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And we'll talk in just a moment about the role she played in Israel. True faith is richly rewarded. What did she do in Israel? Turn with me to Ruth chapter 4. Time went on, we're not told the details, but time went on, and she married an Israelite. Now you stop and think about that. His name is Salmon. And I don't know when the dating started. I don't know how they met. But the text says she remained in Israel and she meets this man named Salmon. Now, he could have said, well, you know, she was a prostitute. There's no way I'm going to marry that woman. Everybody knows she was a prostitute. But he marries her. She's a changed woman. She's different. In Ruth chapter 4, verse 17, or verse 16, Ruth 4, 16, and Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became a nurse to it. This is the child of Boaz and Ruth. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram. And Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Now look at verse 21. And Salmon begat Boaz. Well, where's the mother? Who's the mother? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5. The mother is Rahab. She becomes a good wife and a good mother. She bears a son named Boaz. That man grows up. He marries Ruth. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5. And Salmon begat Boaz, what? Of Rahab. Why? She's a changed woman. Well, I'm not going to marry some dirty old prostitute. No, she's a believer. She's faithful. She wants to stay in Israel. She wants to get rid of her past life. She marries this man named Salmon. They have a son, Boaz. And what kind of a man was he? Read the book of Ruth. He's caring. He took care of Ruth. He's generous. He's giving. Where did he learn that? He learned that from his father and his mother, a former prostitute. What happens is we think, well, you know, I'm not going to take the gospel of that person. Even if they were converted, there'd be all kinds of problems later in life, and they'll never amount to anything. This woman raises a man named Boaz who's cared. He was successful. Look at the land he owned. He was generous. Let Naomi and Ruth glean. He was caring. He was loving. And his mother was a former prostitute. People can change and do change. And the gospel changes them. God's word does. She becomes in the very lineage of Jesus Christ. Talk about a reward. In addition to being saved at Jericho, she's named in Faith's Hall of Fame, Hebrews 11. She's named in the very genealogy of Christ. It's great. It's just great that when we exercise our faith in God, that great things will come from that. And so I want to close this morning with this point. That's all I know of Rahab in the scripture. Joshua, and then Matthew, Hebrews 11, James 2. But what I'm told is that great faith, John says, 1 John 5:4, that faith that overcomes the world, it's richly rewarded, and we can conquer great things. And so as we close this morning, I want you to consider this. Do you and I take the gospel to those who are rejected by others? The dirty person, the smelly person, the person who would say, you know, well, he or she's a deadbeat and all of that. Do we give them a chance? Do we Did we talk with them? Jesus ate with the publicans and sinners, not to condone their activity, but to be there so that he could influence them and talk with them. And so, as we sing the song, "The Gospel is for All," let's mean that. And as we have an opportunity, let's try to take the gospel to those around us who may be unlikely. The world would consider them unlikely candidates. Number two, we need to have an active, obedient faith. Not just something we say or think or feel, but something we show on a daily basis. And that's not just in obeying the gospel, that's in remaining faithful as a Christian. In fact, James chapter 2 wasn't written to non-Christians to encourage them to be baptized. James chapter 2 was actually written to Christians, if you back up to verse 14, to encourage them to be out actively working in the local church rather than just saying things, actively doing things. And so it's included as remaining faithful as a Christian. And then last of all, do you want the great reward that comes from obedient faith? Saved. They brought her out and she was saved. Everybody else was lost. And she gets to go down in faith's hall of fame. She gets to be in the lineage of Christ. She gets to be in the kingdom of God. And so, do we want that great reward that comes from faith? If we do, we can be active and obedient, and we can respond. The lesson is yours. Can you learn from a prostitute? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And what we learn is that often they're the very ones who see their need. Self-righteous religious people often don't see a need. They don't see themselves as needing anything. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "I say unto you that the publicans and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the prostitutes believed him. And you, when you saw it, did not even repent yourselves afterward that you might believe in him." And so they're the ones that had humility. They're the ones that had repentance. They're the ones that had love for God's word and active. And that's what we need to have today. Yes, I know that you can learn a lot of bad lessons from a prostitute. That's certainly true. But when we come to God's word, we're learning some very positive lessons. And I hope that we can apply those things in our lives today. If you're subject to the invitation, if we can help you in any way, well, why won't you come as we stand and sing? When we want